Thanks for having me, Steve. I didn't realize we were cousins.
Yeah, I mean, mine would be San Miguel in the Azores.
So yeah, that's so where mine. Yeah, that's where my family's from.
See, there we go. We have a lot in common, including that. All right. We also have a lot in common in terms of how we feel about youth sports. And Senator Toomey, you put together this forum, virtual forum, with health experts, reps from Major League Baseball, Little League, and so forth. In the end, after listening to all the points of view, what were some conclusions that you came to based on what they told you?
Well, by far and away, the dominant theme was we can, in fact, resume Little League baseball, baseball for boys, softball for girls. Children have a very, very low risk of contracting COVID-19. The nature of these sports is that kids are spread out. It's played out of doors where the virus is not easily transmitted. We're ready, really, to do this. So that was the consensus view. In fact, it was the unanimous view of the panelists that we had, including arguably the best shortstop ever to play for the Phillies. He's got daughters, and he wants them playing softball. We had Jenny Finch, arguably the greatest woman softball player in American history, and she's got kids that are playing sports outside already. And they just did a great job making the case for why we can do this. We also had a doctor who specialized in epidemiology and has done a tremendous amount of research in this field, and he explained why it's really very safe for kids. So I agree with them. I think they made a great great series of points, and they stressed how good it is for kids' health to be able to have that kind of team athletic opportunity. It was a terrific conversation. I appreciate it, and I hope we'll be able to get on with resuming baseball.
Yeah, no question. And the person you're referring to is Dr. Jay Bhatia, who is from Stanford, and he cited a story, a study from Iceland about the ability of a child to pass it up. Instead, it's actually passed down. And I thought that was actually one of the more important elements of this discussion. Did you view it that way too, Pat?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's important because, parents are understandably apprehensive about their kids. And if they get to the point where they understand that the risk for their kids are very, very low, much lower, in fact, than the risk of getting seriously ill from the ordinary flu. There's no question the numbers are overwhelmingly, there are far more kids adversely affected by the flu than there are by the coronavirus. But the remaining concern can be, well, could the kids pass it on to other people in the family? And the doctor explained that that looks like that's extremely rare.
So let's flip it to the other side, though. In order for youth sports to go, it's one thing for a group of youngsters to get together in the neighborhood, play a little basketball, play some softball, play some baseball. But in organized sports, there are coaches, and the coaches are adults. So what are the important protocols that need to be in place for youth coaches so they can coach and everybody can have a great time with this and feel safe?
Yeah, so Steve, people won't be surprised when they see them. It's about keeping a reasonable amount of distance. It's about frequent hand washing, and it's those kinds of things. But I wouldn't want to try to characterize them precisely because Little League Baseball has done us the favor of laying this out all in detail on their website.
Yep.
So I would encourage people go there. You can, and they took their time and got a lot of input from healthcare and epidemiological and public health professionals in putting together those protocols. So they're right there for everyone to look at and for people to follow. I mean, I think it makes all the sense in the world to follow those guidelines closely.
That's a great point, by the way. And we had Steve Keener on the show just 2 weeks ago talking about exactly that. What does it mean? What can sports mean to the psyche of the country, not just on a youth level, but also on a professional and college level, by returning and returning safely?
That's a great point, and I think it means a lot. Sports are a big part of our culture. It's a part of how we enjoy each other's company, and it's part of what friends talk about and share, and there's the emotion that goes with the investment that we all make in the teams that we root for. And, you know, it's part of who we are. It's part of our country and our society. And people really miss it. And getting it back will feel so good. I'm no psychologist, but I got to believe it's good for the soul to be able to return to your favorite forms of recreation and entertainment. And for so many of us, it's sports.
Because I know Jack Ham and I are so anxious to get back in the Penn State broadcast booth, but obviously under safe conditions and so forth.
Right.
We just feel it would just do a lot for the confidence of everybody if it's able to happen and they show they can do it in a proper way and there are no incidents.
No, that's exactly right. That's a very good point. It will really instill a lot of confidence. And I think it's appropriate to instill that confidence because I think we can do this safely. And I think we can get back to normal kinds of activity with precautions that we didn't used to take, but we will.
One quick point before I move forward here, and that is the fact that you even put this together. What is that telling us about the thought process? There's so many big picture things to talk about, but you focused on this particular day to make sure that you focused in on young people, which also is a focus on parents and grandparents because getting them out and doing something. How important is that? And being a father yourself, especially with a 10-year-old, how did that help you focus in on this to get this kind of panel together?
Well, it occurred to me, Steve, and this is just an intuition, but I just felt like in all the conversations that we have and all the disputes and arguments and the struggles that we are having to come to grips with this crisis, I haven't heard as much discussion about kids. And what effect is this all having on children? But, yeah, I've got a 10-year-old who hasn't been going to school, and he can't play Little League baseball, and he can't play with his buddy down the road like he normally does. And, you know, he's doing fine. I think he's going to be just fine. But it's having an effect on him. And, you know, there might be other kids who are in much more difficult circumstances. And I thought it was just an element of this discussion that was missing, and I wanted to put a spotlight on it.
And you certainly did. There was that cartoon I saw in a paper somewhere a couple of weeks ago, and there are two girls talking to each other and said, "Oh, my teacher is just giving me the hardest time. She just doesn't know what she's doing." And the other one looks at her and says, "That's okay. Mom's doing the best she can."
Exactly. Yep.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do the best we can. Just very quickly for you, what has this time personally been like for you over the last couple of months trying to deal with so many twists and turns with this? And how optimistic are you now compared to even 2 months ago?
Well, it's been quite intense. I didn't realize how intense it would be after we passed the legislation because the negotiations and the process of getting that legislation done was really, really tough. And, you know, remember, it wasn't long ago that we weren't passing anything that was bipartisan, but this legislation passed unanimously. And so that was a very intense period. But then I discovered that immediately afterwards, as the Treasury and the Small Business Administration especially were setting up some of the programs to keep business alive, well, you know, there were a lot of hiccups along the way, a lot of bumps in that road, and a lot of constituents reaching out to me to say, hey, could we change this? Could we do this somewhat differently? So it was a very intense process of implementing all of this. Of course, some of it I did out of quarantine in my basement, and then I graduated to being a full-fledged citizen of my house, and I was able to come upstairs, and that was that was a big improvement in quality of life.
Yep.
You know, when I regained the status that our dog has in the house, you know, it's been gratifying that I feel like we have been able to respond, and for all the imperfections of the response, I think it's helping. We're helping people by replacing them.
And I believe we lost him there for a second. So it happens on cell phones from time to time.
We might be able to avoid a really...
Lost him there again a little bit. All right. Well, with that, I don't want to cut him off in mid-sentence, only because, you know, I think we lost him on the cell connection there, which is going to happen. but we greatly appreciate the fact that he took some time to be with us today. And hopefully at some point, once all of this settles down, we can get the senator and his family and his 10-year-old son to come up to a Penn State football game. That would be great, and see him here.